From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is Francis Chan, author of the new book, Until Unity. Let's now join Hank and Francis Chan in their conversation.
When you face death and when you're forced to think about your mortality like you were, you end up thanking God for it because you realize what really lasts. And it's become very natural for me and even supernatural because of the scriptures to think that this might be my last podcast with anyone and make sure I'm saying to everyone who's listening, please, please, please take this seriously and humble yourself before a mighty God and beg him to help you understand his love and forgiveness that's available to you, that you would know him and humble yourself before him and begin a true abiding in him and him abiding in you and becoming one with him. Like, all of that can happen today. Don't get caught up in details of something Hank might have said or I might have said that might be off. I know Hank's heart, and it's similar to mine, where we were just saying, please understand what a great God we have and how outrageous his love is for us and how just fascinating this truth is that he says that if we love him, that the Father, and they will make their home in us, and the Spirit himself will live in us, and that he's knocking right now on that door, and we open that door, he comes, and we experience life with him, because he is the life, and we dine with him, and we speak and do podcasts with him. I mean, he is just a part of everything we do, and we want that for you.
Yeah, as you were talking, Francis, I was thinking about the last time I spoke in the midst of entering into a transplant. And so I was going to do a transplant. It was sort of a last-ditch effort to save my life. And I remember going to Annapolis, Maryland, and I was speaking in a church. I did a conference, and then I spoke on Sunday morning. And I remember how different it was. The tumors had pretty much taken over my body. They'd even been protruding on the outside. I had one in my groin area that you could see. I had one under my jaw. I had one popping out of my neck. And I remember how different it was to speak in that circumstance, because I was so aware that this might be the very last time I ever had an opportunity to do this. And therefore, I didn't take any moment of that speech for granted. And the other thing that was really interesting, and something you alluded to earlier, when you're in that condition, there's a selflessness that naturally takes over, because now it's not about drawing attention to yourself. You're probably not going to be here very long. It's about allowing the Lord to shine through you. That becomes your focus. So it's not about how grandiose you can be with your words or how compelling, but Lord, please manifest your reality to these people gathered here. May your Holy Spirit touch them. May they see the Spirit of God alive in me. And I love that focus. And that's why when you said to me, when we were together, pre-COVID actually, you were leaving for Hong Kong shortly thereafter, and you started talking to me just before we spent some time in prayer. You start talking to me about this sense of your own mortality. And I, again, wanted to bring that out in the podcast because I think it's so important for people to realize that they're one heartbeat away from being in the presence of God. And one other thing in this vein that you might want to elaborate on, you know, when you think about being one heartbeat away from the presence of the Lord, And I went into a coma right after my transplant. I went into a coma because I caught an E. coli bacterium. That should have thrown a monkey wrench into the whole thing. But the one thing that I thought about after I came out of the coma was, what would the Lord have said to me if I didn't come out of that coma? If I was in his presence, what would he have said to me about the poor and the downtrodden? And there's a whole world out there, and you've alluded to that in talking about Myanmar. There's a whole world out there in the 1040 window that's never heard the name of Jesus. I mean, 96%, I think, is the statistic. 96% of the people in that swath of 1.6 billion people have never heard the name of Jesus, and many of them are poor. And so when you bring the love of Jesus Christ to them through food or water or clothing, you open their hearts to a Jesus they've never heard of.
Wow. Yeah, even as you say that, I get convicted and I want to spend my life well. I want to spend my resources well. Living in the U.S., I mean, we've been blessed. And it's not just so that we can enjoy all these things. And I mean, I do think about eternity when I, you know, do my finances, when I decide what kind of car to buy. It's like, okay, what will I regret in heaven when I decide what house to live in or trailer or whatever? It's like, okay, what am I going to regret? Because that's eternal, you know, what am I going to rejoice over? And it keeps me focused on my treasure in heaven. And it can't be just a guilt thing, too. It's out of love. It's out of desire. And so when I am overseas and I've met these people, it's like it's not like a chore to give to them. It's this desire. I just want to research and make sure I'm giving to the right groups and organizations, even that really are getting the gospel and getting relief out there. But I want to be generous. I don't want to be stuck at the end of my life with a bunch of possessions and go, it's almost like my actions prove or disprove what I say I believe. And so I even remember praying that years ago when I was shepherding down Southern California, go, God, I don't get how people can be so wealthy and then give 5 or 10% of their income to you. Why wouldn't they just live a normal life or sacrifice if they really believe in eternity? And saying, God, you know, give me a fortune and I'll give it away. And then, you know, surprisingly, I did make a fortune through writing. And I go, okay, you know what? I'm still not going to buy a new car. I'm still not going to buy a big house. Like, I really am happier building hospitals. I really am happier knowing how many lives I've kept alive through feeding programs. I really am happier when I know how many times the gospel has been presented in these third world countries and that I got a little, you know, piece of that just by financially giving. These are joys in life. And so the way we live really does matter. And I do think about coming before him. And so even right now, as you talk about that, I got to look at my finances again and go, okay, how much is in the bank? And do I really want that in the bank if we're coming towards the end here? And how do I get rid of it? And how do I get rid of it well in a way that honors the Lord and gets the gospel out to as many people as possible?
I wrote a note on a sheet of paper that I have in front of me with respect to this podcast, and it says, must do on the podcast. So this is an absolute must do. And it says, go over the Lord's High Priestly Prayer as dissected by Francis on pages 89 through 92 of his book. And in the interest of doing that and hearing your comments, let me simply recite what the Lord said. We've alluded to it, we've paraphrased it, but our Lord said, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Now, that's only a short piece of the Lord's high priestly prayer. Give us your thoughts.
It was so beautiful when you read it. It's just like water to my soul, and I don't even want to expound on it. You know, I feel like sometimes I can try to improve upon Jesus' words or something, or that he needs me to explain it. But, you know, this is the only book where the words are alive.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Francis Chan. Christian unity is not optional. Francis Chan writes, "Unity is difficult when all we do is talk. The early church produced the book of Acts. The modern church produced a book of talks. Their leaders died living out the gospel. We make a living by talking about it. The more we bear fruit, the easier unity will be. When we begin to see one another conforming our actions and lifestyles to those of Jesus and the early church, we will be more prone to unite." To receive your copy of Until Unity by Francis Chan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Our Lord prayed that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Christian unity is not optional. To receive your copy of Until Unity by Francis Chan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Christian unity is not optional. Francis Chan wrote Until Unity to remind Christians that God grieves division in the church, so we cannot remain indifferent. The power and witness of the church hinges on our oneness, and unity in Christ demands a level of humility that is possible by only those filled with the Holy Spirit. Unity around the essentials may seem impossible, but Christ prayed for unity and we must obey. Who are we to question the Creator of the universe? To receive your copy of Until Unity by Francis Chan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. Well, let's rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Francis Chan, in their conversation.
It was so beautiful when you read it. It's just like water to my soul, and I don't even want to expound on it. You know, I feel like sometimes I can try to improve upon Jesus' words or something, or that he needs me to explain it. But, you know, this is the only book where the words are alive, like they're living and active. My book on unity, the only words that are alive are the times when I quote scripture. And there's just something about the way when you read it, I'm just going, this sounds different from everything I've been saying on this podcast, everything you've been saying on this podcast, because these are the very words of Jesus. And so I'm just going to read them. I can't read it again. Listen to this and picture Jesus saying this. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Amen.
Amen. Yes. There's something that you alluded to earlier, you write about in your book, that probably is a rather sharp segue in one sense, but I did want to discuss this, and that is, how should Christians and Christian leaders respond to what's going on now in an internet age where you have internet trolls? They capitalize on the fact that you're reaching people, and then by latching onto you in a critical way, distorting truth, distorting reality, they cause further division within the body of Christ. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. You know, you see online the videos that get the most hits. And, you know, we understand that a lot of it is a matter of clickbait and getting the right title on there. I mean, in some ways, it's just funny because sometimes we'll post a video that I do and then some other ministry will post the same video but have a better title and they'll get, you know, three times the amount of hits that we get. And you also realize that if you talk about certain issues, you'll attract more listeners. And so if some guy who doesn't have a lot of listeners puts a video online that says, why I love Jesus, that's not going to get that many hits. But if he puts, Hank Hanegraaff, the man we trusted, is now a heretic, I want to click on that. What's this guy have to say? And again, earlier, what I was saying about selfish ambition, in James 3, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, you know, so will disorder in every vile practice. And so what could be more vile than slandering those who are servants of God? But there's this ambition. Well, I want more people listening to me. And I'm not saying that that's the only motive and that anyone that ever rebukes someone else, that is their only motive. I get it. Like I said before, there have been times in my life I spoke against people out of ignorance. And yet in some ways in my heart, I thought I was doing it for Christ. But my lack of research, my lack of compassion, my lack of love brought this destruction into the church. And so I just think we are in a time where people understand that, you know, if you say something accurately, you may not get as many followers as if you embellish something or use very scathing and strong words, because that's just the culture we live in. And so our words are becoming more and more abrasive. We aren't thinking about, you know, what uplifts, and we aren't thinking about our testimony to the world and the division that we're showing them. I mean, if Jesus' high priestly prayer is that we've become perfectly one so that the world would see and believe that he was sent, it's similar to what Paul says, like, why would you have lawsuits amongst each other and that in front of unbelievers? The things we're doing in front of unbelievers and the things that we're saying that may make sense to us in our little circle, it's hurting the church and it's destroying the testimony that we have in the world. And maybe we're just ignorant of how the world sees it and how much pain we've caused servants of God who really are trying their best and really are seeking after the Lord at times. And that's not to say there isn't a time to confront, but I am saying, okay, let's do it. Humility, gentleness, love. And let's even ask ourselves the question, how am I so sure that my interpretation of Scripture is right and his or hers is wrong? Are you sure you're more intelligent than me? Are you sure you're more spirit-filled than me? And that's why God has given you an accurate interpretation and given me a faulty one. You have to answer these basic epistemological questions of why do I know truth better than he does? That's why the Bible says not many of you should be teachers, because you'll be judged more harshly. These are some things that we need to think through more seriously before we just speak out against people.
There's so much we could have done in this podcast. I mean, we could have talked about our Lord Jesus Christ saying, this is my body, this is my blood. If you don't partake of my body and blood, you have no life in you. We could have had a discussion about what is essential and what is non-essential. But instead, you refocused the discussion on the heart. Where's your heart? And you discuss a lot of these matters in your book, but the primary place is your heart for crazy love, as you call it, your heart for love and humility, your heart for being on our knees so that we see the best in our brothers and sisters rather than the worst, your heart for mission. And through all of that, if we get our hearts in the right place, we can start talking about unity, not from the standpoint of I got you on this particular issue or you got me on this, or, you know, show where, I mean, I can read your book and say, you know, there are a bunch of places that you might have been more careful, maybe, but that's not really where, and I'm not trying to be critical here, Francis, but that's not really the issue. The issue is, can we get our hearts to the right place? And if we get our hearts to the right place, then we can talk about the impossible dream becoming a possible dream, and that is unity in our own lifetimes, which is something that you actually say you have the childlike faith to believe could happen.
Amen. And I hope that's what people get from this. And it doesn't mean we don't discuss those other things. And who knows? I mean, we're all going to, at best, see as in a mirror dimly. And once we understand that and go, okay, God, I'll see as clearly as I can down here, and let's spur one another on, and let's sharpen one another. But as we do that, let's do it in a spirit of love and unity.
Absolutely. Francis, I love you, my brother. You got a great wife and a great family and a great vision for how your life can be used. And you've put out a book, and that book is going to cause a lot of people to think about the heart of Christ when he prayed to the Father that we might be one so that the world would believe that the Father sent the Son. Again, the book, Until Unity, you can get your copy on the web at equip.org. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more.
Thank you for listening to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Francis Chan, author of Until Unity. To hear this Hank Unplugged podcast interview in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book Until Unity by Francis Chan. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
Our Lord prayed that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Christian unity is not optional. To receive your copy of Until Unity by Francis Chan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.